Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And you're listening to Fiber Talk, the midweek version of the twice a week podcast thing that we do. Let's see. We have coming up this Sunday. Oh, last Sunday was a special show on caskets. Did you watch the whole thing?
I had to watch it two bits.
Yeah, two times. Yeah, it's 2 hours. Was it 2 hours and 13 minutes or something like that?
Something.
Yeah, it's a long haul. It's all video. So you can go to the website, wetalkfiber.com, or to the YouTube channel and watch it either place. It's a long haul. But we Beth and Mary Berry and Jeannie Posnett, Mary and Jeannie Mary made her casket. That's astounding stuff. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And then Jeannie is completely designing a casket from stem to stern.
I know. Holy smokes. That was neat to watch. Yeah, yeah. And all the different things she's putting in, why, and the history. And
right. Yeah, all the history that's in those. Yeah.
Then the art she's making along the way. Like, she does the artwork, and then she puts it on.
Right.
She doesn't just design. She has steps.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because she made a whole casket with drawn panels on it. So she has a casket that is all drawing as to what it'll look like. And now she's working on the stitching part. But, oh, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Yeah.
And then the one panel she did, like, on glass with
acrylic
on one side and then the glass on, you know, Sharpie marker on the other. I was like,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, check it out. And like Jennifer said, you probably have to watch it in a couple settings. But Beth has been wanting to do this, a casket thing, because she has a casket kit and she started on it, but she just isn't going. And so Jeannie and Mary, she knows them. And so she's been wanting, so we put it together. And it was, you know, I'm putting together the format. And I'm realizing to get a decent job in an hour and tell the story, just not going to work. There's too much.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, you know, all right, well, how do we contain this, or do we just let it run? And
YouTube. It can be as long as you want.
Right. So we just let it run. Yep. Just let her go. I learned so much. You know, I have no interest in doing a casket. But
Me neither. But it's fun to watch.
Yeah. And you learn a lot about stitching and design. And then listening to Mary talk about, you know, she didn't know a lot of the stitches and stuff, the stump work when she started. And, you know, she just, I just went for it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Man, that thing's pretty. Yeah. So make a point to watch that. It's, you know, have it on the background when you're stitching. And it is... it's pretty cool.
You'll just end up watching because it's a big watching one.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Other
isn't
ones
it?
Are more listen-y. This is a watchy. Sit down in the morning with your coffee and your breakfast, and two mornings maybe you'll do it.
You'll get it. Yeah. Well, even sitting here recording it, you know, I have to say the 2 hours flew by. It was really.
I would have done it all in one, but it got to bedtime and I had stuff to do today that I really needed to go to bed. So.
Yeah. So that was Sunday. So watch that. And then coming up this Sunday is Birgit Tolman from The Wishing Thorn. And Birgit is originally from Germany and now lives in Mississippi. Germany to Connecticut to Mississippi. Now, there's a trip. there's culture. There's culture, huh? Germany to Connecticut. Yeah. She started out, she went to art school as an art degree, and her first job was making gravestones.
Oh, okay.
She did it for a year, designing and making gravestones, and we talk about that at the beginning. But, you know, I figured it was sit down on a computer, Photoshop or Illustrator or something, and design a gravestone, and then send that file to a machine that cuts the stone. When she did it... When she did it, that didn't exist, I guess, because she had to design it and then go cut it with chisels and stone cutters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she said it was very much a man's world. And she, after a year, it was just, I'm not doing this.
So she did the actual, like,
right
thing. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that stonework was like its own thing, like woodwork, you know?
I thought
stonework, I didn't know you could just have an art degree and go. Maybe she already had some of that in her background or something, sculpture or something like that. I don't know.
I don't think so. She just, it was a job she could get out of school, and she got it. She was very much a man's world, and, you know, you can't handle this. You're a woman and all this. And she did it for a year, and then she said, yeah, I'm out. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But and now her business is reproduction samplers. And then she's almost 50-50, reproduction samplers, and then designing samplers.
Okay.
So it's kind of different, because usually they're one or the other.
Yeah, and I think I've seen her Instagram comes up on my feed a lot.
Yeah.
The Wishing Thorn. Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah.
She have a store? Like, she must.
Online.
Yeah.
Online shop.
That's what. So yeah. I think I get a lot of her online.
Okay. Yeah. But pretty cool stuff, yeah. So that was fascinating. So that's Sunday coming up. And then next week is Thanksgiving. So we will not be having a show on Wednesday night, which would normally be our stitch hour this in our cycle. Mm-hmm. We will not be having a show Wednesday night, and we will not be having a show the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So we're off next week.
Right.
Then we'll be back the following Wednesday. We'll probably come back and do a podcast, and then a couple weeks, and then Christmas.
Yeah. New Year's.
Yeah. So, 52. And we always take a couple weeks off at Christmas. So, no shows next week, Wednesday and Sunday. So, but there's.
Alrighty.
You know, there's like 1,000 shows that you can go watch.
1,000,000,000, like, you got a lot. Yeah. How many years? 7-8 years now?
Something like that. Yeah.
Long
when it comes to time. Comes to January, I got to look it up again. But well, this is. I know we have 700 plus of these recorded ones, and then we easily have 300 more live ones. So there's I'm sure there's 1,000. There's easily 1,000 shows that you can watch. So if you miss something, you know,
there's something
on it. There's something for you. Yeah. So so that's that. And then anxious for people to sign up for the Fiber Talk Needle Arts Weekend. That's in March. Mm-hmm. Yeah. March 21 to 23. And wetalkfiber.com/weekend is where you go and you get all the details and get your registration in and your hotel room booked. And if you're local and you're going to drive in, you can drive in every day. You don't have to stay in the hotel. That's not a requirement. Right. And we don't charge a fee if you don't stay in the hotel. I mean, we've got a room block that we need to fill. But if you're local and want to drive in each of the days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can do that. That's fine with us. So register, wetalkfiber.com/weekend. We've got 6 classes. They're all free. You can sign up for any number of them you want. They're all during the day on Saturday. And then we have the Jennifer table. We're going to have we should have a huge sign, the Jennifer table.
I know,
table.
Right?
Yeah. But on the Jennifer table, there'll be a couple sessions, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, where Jennifer will have tamari balls out, so you can try that, and slow stitching. And I can't
whatever
wait to try
else
that.
Shows up. I don't know.
I can't wait to try that. And then we'll have a help table. So if you're struggling with something and need help, between the six of us, you, me, Beth, Cindy,
yeah.
Robin, Kelly, six.
Right.
Between the six of us, somebody can help you. So
probably.
I would guess. I would guess. So wetalkfiber.com/weekend, it's $300 for the event, and then your room rate, that's separate, that's with the hotel. And so sign up and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun, March 21 to 23. Looking forward to it, and hope we have a big crowd and can we'll have a lot of fun. So that's that. And then reminding people at Sassy Jack Stitchery, the Jackie Duplessis Rise Above the Waters ornament. You go to sassyjackstitchery.com, and up in the menu bar, there's a slot for ornament. Click on that, and then you can order that that ornament kit that Jackie, the ornament that Jackie designed. And Kim is sending all the profits to that for that to the local food bank. So, and it's fallen out of the news, but I talked with Kim here just the other day. Things are they don't have running water.
It's going to take a long time.
Yeah, they still don't have running water.
Yeah.
They're still having to truck in water, and restaurants are having to have big carboys of water for cooking and for washing and those kinds of things. She said that they have the water pipes in because the water pipes just got destroyed.
Yeah.
They have the water pipes in, but the reservoirs, the dirt, dust, whatever in the reservoirs, they can't get it to settle.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! And they don't have towers like water tower juggy things.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Like Texas or somewhere would have, you know.
But yeah, she said they can't get it to settle, so the water's just full of this
sediment.
Dirt. Sediment. That's the word. I knew there was a big $50 word for that. Thank you, sediment. Yeah, and she said they're trying all kinds of things to get this sediment to settle down, so they'll have clear water. Because of course, if it's that full of sediment, you can't run it through filters because you're changing filters all the time.
Yeah.
So you got to get reasonably clear.
Just clogs.
Yeah. And of course, in the mountains, like you said, in the mountains, I mean, they've got mountains and streams.
Yeah.
So running water is an issue. And of course, roads are out. I saw something yesterday where there's like an 80-mile segment of road where the road is out, but they can't put a road back because there's nothing there to put the road on.
Yeah, because like the whole thing washed. Like,
right.
The whole thing washed away, not just the road, everything under the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they're going to have to find a new place to put the road.
Right.
I don't know. So
what do you do? You know,
I don't know,
because the dirt you need to build the road on isn't there anymore.
Right. And you have to bring in infrastructure to rebuild the road on. And that's expensive. And
right. I got to believe they have no idea how stable the soil is after all that. So it's
a
long haul. Yeah. Long haul.
I think part of their terrain's probably a big part might be changed forever. Like the map's going to change maybe. And
yeah.
Certain roads just may not be able to be built there again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure there'll be stories to tell for a long time.
But
I will say that Kim is open. Sassy Jack Stitchery is open and she's shipping. So feel free to send in orders. She has plenty of supplies. She's not sitting there with an empty store by any stretch. So if you're looking for needlework materials for projects or to give as gifts, and we're going to talk about Christmas gifts for needleworkers here coming up.
Yes.
But if you need supplies, Kim at Sassy Jack's, she has it. She can ship it out. So place those orders, sassyjackstitchery.com. You hear stories about how they can't, there's no water, you know, all the things we just talked about. But no, she's in business. She can function. She can ship. Shipping every day. So, and if you're in the area, you know, drop in. The Biltmore is open. She said the Biltmore is open, so you can go.
Yeah, because that was more, it was up.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that little town at the very bottom where you first enter, that little Biltmore village or whatever that's outside the actual gates when you pay to get in, that got super flooded because I recognize that because I went there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
So I've never been there, and you went there when we were at Kim's. So the actual Biltmore, that's set up higher then.
Yeah, it's up on hills.
Okay.
And up on mountains. So that was all up, and it's that down in the bottom part, that town where you first kind of enter that whole little area down there, I remember sitting in the intersections and stuff. And
yeah.
And then I saw it on TV, totally flooded out. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, no.
Ouch. Yeah. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. Well, she said the Biltmore is open. So that means that the whole Christmas, which I'm sure their Christmas thing is spectacular.
Yeah.
So you can go see that. Go see Kim. Some restaurants are open and functioning, so you can get something to eat. But, yeah, you go check it out. It's not like you can't go there. You can. You can absolutely go there.
Parts are going to be the lower parts and probably some of the through parts where water was coming through.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I saw a thing, a guy who mountain bike trails in the Smoky Mountains in that area, and he was showing a video where there used to be a mountain bike trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you, Jennifer, they're not going to have a trail there for a long time. It was
ever again.
It was just gone. Yeah, but yeah, and it was again. You could see where are you even going to build it because the water had just eroded everything out. Yeah,
because that was, you know, we were there. It's a really rugged landscape.
Yeah,
it's very mountainous and very up and down and narrow and so if something washes out, it's just gone.
Right. Right. Yeah.
How are you going to put it back?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's practical to only move so much dirt and then it's not worth it. So, Sassy Jack Stitchery, Kim is open for business. Get that ornament because that helps people at the food bank in Asheville area, helps with the profits. So, and it's a cool ornament. So yeah, do those things. Feel free to do business with the folks in the Asheville area. They'll be happy to have you. Okay, I wanted to talk because now you went to the Sue Spargo thing for a week, which is, I have to say, I'm jealous. I just have to say
so
that I'm jealous.
Because
you, it's really clear you had a great time. But so we've talked about in the last show, the last live show last week, we talked about your experiences. But what made me curious is, you know, after the fact, after the excitement's over and you're home and you're back to your normal routine, an event like that that's a week long, what kinds of things now do you feel like you took out of it that maybe you didn't realize or that have long-term benefit for you?
Well, the getting up in the morning and getting ready before you go and have breakfast and stuff, that works for me. Like, now I had a couple headache days. It's kind of fallen apart, but I'm more aware of how much time I waste in the morning. And if I would just get up and get ready, then go downstairs, eat, and then you can just, it seems to get you going. It worked for me. And because, I mean, we stitched in the morning, we stitched in the afternoon, we stitched at night, like,
that. Okay, so like, all right, well, so that's, you know, I'm curious about the stitching stuff, but that's an interesting thing. So this being there and knowing you had to be basically on duty changed your normal waste half a day morning routine. You had to get up and get at it, and you realized the benefit there then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Because, you know, I don't have a job. I don't work.
Yeah.
I don't have kids to get up for. There's nothing waking me up, and there's nothing making me go, you know?
Yeah.
So doing it for a whole week every day, getting up and having to be ready and in the classroom by 9 to start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you're in your room. So you get ready and then you just leave and you go have breakfast and then you go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that helped you. So you now, but now you're starting to slip back.
I'm slipping a little, but I'm aware of it and I'm wanting to get back on it. Like, because I like it.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I do have my exercising I'm doing now, my Pilates. So that sometimes I have class at 10 or 11 in the morning. So that is getting me up and going too. So I've got other things helping me to keep it going.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
So then this week then basically has given you a turning point in terms of your normal daily routine.
Yeah, and it made me realize, like, hello, wake up. You're wasting a lot of time.
Ah.
Where you're not doing anything. It's like, what are you doing? You know, the weatherman's not that cute, so. You know?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right. So then from the stitching perspective, I mean, you've bought several things afterwards from Sue to work on projects. So has it opened up new doors for you?
Yeah, I've been working on my stitchy, my thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
I've gotten a lot done. My light is in a weird location. I still have to work out with this. It's my, anyway, I'm getting better at bullions. Look at my little bullion guy there.
Yeah.
He needs wings. He's a moth.
So this is a needle roll or a sewing roll thing?
Yeah, it'll be a needle roll. This is the outside. Look at how these boring circles turn into fabulousness.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's
like, wow.
Kind of a wool applique thing? Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You applique. I did the wool applique. Now I'm embellishing.
Yeah, it's really cool stuff.
Making the pretty parts.
Yeah. So had you so this is a new thing, or had you done that kind of thing before?
No, just the basic primitive wool applique I've done,
mm-hmm.
but none of this fancy stitching.
Yeah,
most of this is all new to me. Like I'd never done a bullion knot before this year, and now I've probably done like 100 maybe so far.
That'll get
and
you
I'm
good.
I'm getting
at
good at them. Yeah, I'm getting good at them.
And what you were telling about the needle that she had you use for bullion, what was that? What was that story?
It's by Tulip, and it's a specific bullion needle by Tulip.
Okay.
And it says bullion needle. There's a small one and a large one. And they are the super best.
Because the shank and the eye are the
same. Do you see how
there
is no... Yeah. See how there's no bumpy out?
Yep.
Whereas with those milliners, there's still a little bit of a bump,
right?
And it's a pain in the bump.
Because that's what I learned from Mary Corbett was instead of regular needles, to use milliner's needles. But the Tulip bullion needles, are just that
specific
step better
bullion, so much better.
And so there's two sizes then. There's a short one and a long one.
Yeah, there's a smaller one and a bigger one. Not a huge difference in size, but.
But so that gets more wraps if you want to.
Right. And longer. It's a little bit thicker.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can tell here that it's thicker.
Just back up a little bit toward you. There we go.
I'm yanking.
There. Yeah. Okay. So those are Tulip.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Let me see. I've got my.
So you'd never done a bullion knot, but now you're fairly comfortable with them.
Yeah, I never, ever, ever. Got my big bag of goodies. I know. So yeah, here. Oh dear.
Back up. Yeah, okay.
Lights blowing everything out.
Okay.
Tulip.
You got to back up. You're too close to the camera. That's all right.
But then you can't see it all.
So what does it say on the label? Tulip what?
Let me see if I can see.
Oh.
Bullion knot needle, big eye, straight, long, and short.
Okay, so they're literally, that's what they're labeled as bullion knot.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Tulip needles anyway. They're really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I was doing the bullion knots there with her with the milliners.
Mm-hmm.
It was going okay. And then she's like, talked about those, and she had some there to buy. So I bought them and used them. Oh my goodness.
It was that much
huge
of a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Huge. Yeah. You don't have to wiggle to get that little bumpity butt through. It just slides through.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Huge difference.
Hmm. That's good to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because and people who have never bought Tulip needles, they are on the expensive side, but you know, in relative terms, they're not that expensive, and they're so very nice.
You have to buy them once. Right. I mean, really.
Yeah, exactly. They're so very nice.
I don't know what you're doing to your needle. You have to buy a bunch. So.
Yeah. I mean, they're just so smooth. They're just really nice needles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're worth the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I've done tons of bullion knots. I'm getting very comfortable with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now, I mean.
And then you bought the, for the wool applique, you bought the punches to cut out circles?
I did.
Yeah.
I haven't opened them yet, but.
Oh, okay. Because, man, every time I try to cut a circle, it just.
I know. I did okay on these.
Yeah, those came out pretty good. Yeah.
I mean. Good enough.
And they're not supposed to be perfect anyway. I mean, the whole style is not perfect.
Not really. But whenever you have to cut little quarter inch ones, ugh.
Yeah, too small.
That's little, you know.
Right.
It's tiny.
Right. Yeah. So what else did you pick up some technique, other than bullion knots, some technique things that you didn't know?
Well, she did have a really good tip on needle turn applique, because I knew how to do needle turn applique. I've been doing it for a while. But to get a good point, she had a good way of you do the tip, and then you turn it, and you do your first, you do a little turn under, and then you flick it under, like away from you, and that gets that point really in there sharp. It's just a different way of turning your hand and flicking it under instead of pulling it toward you.
Mm-hmm.
Just makes a difference. And I was like, wow, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I'd know how to do it for years, and my points were okay, but this just made it easier. And she showed how to trim underneath too, trim away the excess so it's not so bulky.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I learned that. I don't know. Just all of it was new. How to layer the background.
Yeah.
But all these stitches are new to me. Like I've never, you know, not done them before. But
that's huge in its own right. So you've got a whole bunch of stitches you've never done. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun.
So a new challenge.
I've learned her instructions. When you look at them, you're like, oh my gosh, it looks all crazy. But once you've done it and you know the instructions now, I'm like, oh, they don't intimidate me anymore.
Yeah, okay.
You just read line by line because, they look crazy. And then she does have really good little, like, they look really nuts, you know? It's like, oh my gosh, look at all that writing, and I can't understand any of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you read a few, you're like, oh, they're not intimidating at all.
See, there's a statement right there, because the one thing that so many people, when they talk about specialty stitches, they head for the hills. You know, I don't want to do that. It's too complicated. And it can look intimidating, but then we look at your piece, and you've never done those before, and you dug in a little bit, you figured it out, and now you've got these beautiful stitches that are different and unique.
And her instructions, it says French knots, page 104. So you go to her creative stitching book, and you go to page 104. So it'll say it every time. It doesn't matter if she's already said French knots before. Every time she mentions a stitch, she says what page number it's on in the book. You flip to the book, and it's right there how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that
Creative Stitches, that's a good book then, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty much you need to have it. Second edition.
And spiral bound so you can lay it out flat. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yep. And so in her instructions, there's a lot of, because you're seeing a lot of numbers and a lot, you know, but once you know what that all is, you can, it's much easier. At first it looks intimidating, like, oh my gosh. But once you've done one, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
it's like deciphering the code, but it's easy. Right.
That's the case with just about all stitches, is they look intimidating, and once you do them once or twice, it's like, oh, no big deal.
Yeah. Like I said, she always has the number of the page to find the stitch. So
yeah,
she has on Instagram, you can go to her little thing and you can find under the one of those little tabs, she'll have little tutorials on how to do them too and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Yep.
I know. It's a Sue Spargo hour again. So that's kind of what I've been doing though.
Yeah.
It's
like, no, I know you have. I know you have. That's the thing.
Been doing a little cross stitch.
Yeah.
I'm getting a slow stitch that bag. I don't have those pieces up here. I got the that bag ready because I'm going to do some slow stitching on it when I go to Colorado. That'll be my project I take because it won't be heavy or take up a lot of room. Because you know I'm Christmas shopping. So.
Yes, yes. You know, and when it comes to specialty stitches, you know, that there's a million books on stitches. I mean, there's a million of them. And there's that one. But then I also call people's attention. We tend to forget about it. The Royal School of Needlework, their Stitch Bank.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a tremendous resource. That's free. It's online. Everybody
and she
has
mentions
access.
That in her class,
does she?
Too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she mentioned their Stitch Bank.
Yeah.
So
it's excellent.
She's aware of it.
Yeah, it's excellent. Mm-hmm. So the next one, next Sue Spargo, next year or a couple years?
We're going to wait till 2026 to try to go to another one. I need a year, and I'm going to do that Bloom block of the month. So.
Okay.
And I've got to finish my little seascape.
Yeah. Oh, those seahorses are so cool.
I know. It's super. It's sitting right here on my wall. I'm looking at it. But I want to get this done so I have somewhere to put all my needles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and some of these I can get done pretty fast, and some of them take longer.
Yep. For the people listening,
for
people listening, we'll have a picture of the needle roll that Jennifer's working on. Because it's really cool. Really cool.
Time flies when you're working on it, too. Before you know it, it's like 2 hours have gone by, and you're like, wow.
Yeah. I want to try wet wool applique. It looks like a lot of fun. I got to get a thing and try it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Woolen needle. That's the one we talked to. I got to get a kit from her and give it a whirl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like fun. Yep. All right.
Yeah.
This is the time of year where we start to think about holiday gifts, Christmas gifts. So we thought we would go through what might you get a stitching friend for a gift. So you just put up the first one there, and that's a good book on stitches. So
yeah.
Yep. Sue Spargo's Definitely. Creative Stitches is one of them. There's a ton of them. Any needlework store will have them. Support your local needlework store. And because she is supportive of us, so supportive of us, Sassy Jack Stitchery is highly recommended as a place to get those kinds of things. So books, books of any kind, new techniques. If you have an interest in a technique, or you have a friend who has mentioned about, you know, I want to try some white work or black work, there's a whole boatload of books available on just about every technique. Yvette Stanton's books. Oh. That's right, Yvette Stanton's whitework books. Kim is now, Sassy Jacks is now the U.S. distributor for all of her older books. Like the most recent ones are still handled through Search Press, but then after whatever period, then they go somewhere else. Well, now it's Kim. So she has in her store all of the books. All of Yvette Stanton's whitework books, Kim has. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So if you're looking for an older one that's been hard to get hold of or.
Yep. Yeah. Nice. So that's cool. Because those, I don't know how many Yvette's done, a whole bunch of them.
I know. I think I have two or three.
Yeah.
So, I haven't done any of it.
Right. But Kim has those. So you can get from Sassy Jacks, you can get. Whitework books by Yvette Stanton. But books are a good thing. And gift certificates, you know, what do I get a stitching friend?
Yeah.
Get a gift certificate.
Yep.
Kim has them.
They can get threads. They can just apply it to their next project.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Is don't think of it as I'm giving something that will buy them a kit or a chart or something. it goes, you know, you apply it to, you know, I got a $200 project I'm buying. Well, here's a gift certificate for $50. At least, yeah, you know, that's, that makes a dent, makes a big dent. So,
for sure.
Yeah. So gift certificates from Sassy Jacks, and then, Avlia Folk Embroidery, Krista West down in the footer. She always has gift certificates. So you could down in the footer on her page, you can click and get a gift certificate. And then that, you know, that can be, that'll cover a kid or two or whatever you want to give. So,
yeah, nice.
Yeah. But gift certificates, for, especially for stitchers who are hard to.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't know what they have. You don't know what they need.
Right.
So gift certificate, then they can get whatever they need to get.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and that's just it. So many of us have so much stash that how do you add to it? But if you make it possible for them to.
Then you always find that you don't have what you need.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know.
That
crazy
I almost bought a bunch more Sue Spargo, and I'm like, no. I'm like, you bought a bunch. Use what you have. Make it work. Because I'm going to be getting that. I'm going to get more stuff in January.
Oh.
I don't, you know, because I'm going to do that bloom thing.
Oh.
So I just, I'm like, you have colors here. They all work. Make it work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I had to just tell myself, stop.
Yeah. Nobody says you have to use exactly the same.
Oh, and all of this is, I'm just winging it because it's not at all like hers anyway. You know, hers is a totally different color scheme.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to turn into Beth with like thread collection because I don't need all those threads. I just have DMC. It's fine. Yeah. No, now I've got all this going on, you know.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, blame it on Beth. That's a good place to blame it. Blame it on Beth.
Absolutely. I know.
Yeah.
I've had to.
Moving
I'm converting.
From stash to inventory. Yeah.
Yeah. So now this thing here used to have like some of my big quilting hoops in it. Well, they've had to be moved so I can have two of those little three drawer plastic thingies.
Oh, yeah.
That I can put all this stuff in. Because I'm like, where am I going to put all these threads now?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've had to rethink my storage solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's funny.
And I'm rearranging.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Like when we do these shows and people can see behind me that open shelf thing jammed full of stuff. That's my next project. I'm going to paint this room. And then I'm getting cabinets with doors and drawers that close. Because I'm tired of looking at the, you know, just the jumbled up mess.
Yeah.
I want it put away. I need more storage. I want it put away. I want it out of the light. And I don't want to be looking at it all the time. And
yeah, because that sometimes too much clutter, even if you're just, even if it's organized, but seeing it can clutter your brain.
Yep.
Interferes.
Yep. So, yeah, that's
even
my.
Even I have all
next...
kinds of stuff out, but.
Yeah. No, that's my next project.
It's behind me. I can only see it because I'm on the phone with you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my next project is I'm getting this room stuff put behind doors and drawers. Yeah, I've had it.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
Scissors. Scissors are a nice thing.
I like scissors.
Yeah. I don't know any needle worker who would object to another pair of scissors. I do not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scissors are fun.
Yep.
I like different ones. I have these really cute ones here.
Yep. Yeah.
I have all kinds. I have these nice ones here that I was able to label. This one says paper. This one says wool applique.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scissors. Yeah. And we all know we can spend a fortune on scissors, but of all kinds. And one thing that you can get... If you or a friend travels a lot, is to get the small scissors that you can take on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Those are an important thing, and that's a lot of them you can get for $5, $6, $7. So you could buy as a gift maybe two or three, and you know if one gets lost or left behind in a hotel room. Not the end of the world, but scissors are a great gift.
I think I bought some of those little tiny Kohana snippies. Ah, here.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I was hoping you had one of those.
I want to put them inside my needle roll so that they can be my needle roll snippies. Look at them.
Those Kohana. Yeah, and those aren't real expensive, right?
Oh, were they like $18?
Yeah, that's not bad. But those things are ideal.
Yeah, and I want to put it so it somehow get it in and have it in the needle roll.
Uh-huh.
Somehow. Yeah. We'll figure out a way.
Yeah. But that's
maybe
a great...
I can tie it onto this little... I don't know.
Should be able to.
But I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But the needle roll is supposed to have a little zipper pouch, so it can also go in the little zipper pouch.
Okay. That'll work. But yeah, those Kohana, the little Kohana snippy things.
Have you seen on the Kohana website, I have their Instagram, their new stuff for Christmas?
No.
So I had to tell myself no.
I'm not going to look
then. I
had to
say no. So cute. All of it. And I had to say just no.
I'm not going to look.
But there's cute stuff out there, people. Super cute.
I'm not going to look. No. No.
You're going to. I can tell.
No.
You're going to break.
No. I'm buying cabinets and paint for this room. I am not going to look. No. No. So another thing I thought of is if you're giving a gift and you know who the person uses for finishing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a place. That's a generally a significant expense. And if they are, if you know where it is, maybe there's a gift certificate, or you can just give them money for finishing. But that's one.
Yeah, something.
Right.
If you know who their finisher is and they have a way to contact them, you could be like, hey, I would like to give so-and-so a gift card of this much money.
Yeah.
Towards their next finishing project.
Yep. But that's, that was one that I just thought, wow.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you've got a bunch of ornaments and somebody says, hey, I'm going to help you at least pay to have one of them finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a nice gift.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another one. And then to pay the annual EGA, ANG, or local guild membership is another one. And that came to mind because I just renewed my Cyber Pointers membership, and that means I got to renew my ANG membership.
Okay.
So that's right in this time frame. Well, if you paid for somebody's ANG or EGA, or maybe they're not a member, and you say, hey, I'm going to buy you a membership.
Have them get it for a year, see if they are interested, you know.
Right. And keep in mind, EGA, member at large, that's what I am. That works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't have to join a local chapter, or maybe there isn't one. So a member at large. And EGA just announced here a week or so ago, I didn't know they were doing this, they're starting to have online events for the members at large.
Oh, okay.
So they have a stitch-in coming up, and they're starting to have events for the members at large who don't have or aren't members of local groups. So I thought that was pretty cool too. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, neat. I thought that was good. Yeah. So that's a way to give a gift. And then another one, needles.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
If you know what kind they like and what size they use. And.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or introduce them to tulip.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Give them a little couple tulip ones or.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been, when
get them those bouillon ones.
I know.
Those are
magic.
I
got to get those bouillon ones. And I haven't made a bouillon knot in ages. But.
I never had before. So.
Yeah. But the last time I did it was with milliner needles, and it was better than a regular needle. But now, now I almost want to seek out a bullion knot just to try it with the tulip ones. So,
I mean, it's so smooth.
Yeah,
so smooth.
But needles are, there's nothing wrong with that as a gift. You know, a couple of tubes of tulip needles, a couple sizes. I'd take that. That'd be a nice little gift, and something you can throw in the mail to someone. Or, doesn't have to be a big thing, but that, that pays off. Now, this one that I didn't know, because I thought, you know, what about a bunch of skeins of thread that they could just add to their stash?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that seems like a good thing. But then, first question, well, what colors?
Yeah.
Well, does it matter? I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, do you buy, I don't know, half a dozen skeins of some silk thread? Like buy shades of red or shades of blue or something?
I one time went to Thistle and I wanted reds, but I wanted to try all different kinds to see different colors of red. Because, you know, I wanted to do like a red, an all red. So I bought different types of red threads by different manufacturers, different kinds, just to give them all a try out, you know. You could do just a little assortment pack of a color of all. Yeah. If you have a needlework store, you know, you go and you pick different silks to see which silk you like.
Yeah. Now see, that works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want the same value of red in six different thread types.
Yeah. Or different reds or blues or, you know, whatever. But just kind of try different things.
Yeah. So that, you know, there's another gift you can put in the mail easily, or you know, it doesn't have to be a big production. It's just a simple thing. Yeah. And I don't know anyone who would turn down a skein of thread.
Yeah. But, yeah. Someone's like, ooh, thread.
Yeah.
Stick it in.
I don't know anyone who would do that.
Put it with the bunch.
I really don't. Yeah. Now, and then along with that then is linen or canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for instance, you take needlepoint canvas, 18 count needlepoint canvas. Now, on the surface, it's like buying tires or a roof. You know, like, oh, whoopee, gotta have it. But I think about, you know, if somebody were to come to me with a yard of needlepoint canvas, white needlepoint canvas, 18 count, that, to me, that would be a really nice gift.
Mm-hmm.
Because having that around, and you want to start a project, and right there in the closet, I know I have the canvas. And you know, we all have the thread, but I have the canvas. Or if I want to experiment a little bit, then I don't have to go to the store. I have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And thread or linen, or Aida cloth, either one. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're giving to a friend, you know what count they like.
So
get them a neutral color.
Mm-hmm.
I've
seen these little, they have little wool packs in some stores where you have like five or six little colors all together. If they like to do that, you know.
Just yeah.
Little, that's like $20 or something.
Right.
A little pack of wools or...
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just stay neutral, you know, neutral colors. And, you know, don't get
unless
some crazy.
Unless you know they like bright colors.
I know.
unless they're like, a bright color person, then you give them something crazy and they're like, wow, do something crazy with that.
Yeah. So like somebody who does primitive stitching all the time, don't get them a great big bright yellow piece of linen. No, that's not going to work.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But that's...
I find it hard to use that.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, a fat quarter or a fat half or something of linen or a half a yard of needlepoint canvas.
They like doing smalls, you know, little.
Yeah. Now, here's another idea I had, and I was going to ask you, and I'm going to ask you. when you do finish, because you finish stuff, I don't. If it's finished, I have it done. Would a good gift be to buy a rickrack and other trimming stuff? Or does that get so specific that it's not?
Well, I think just if you have it, then whenever you go through your stuff, you just see what works.
Yeah.
And to have different things, it's nice.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to go to the store.
Right.
You know? Because I always like to shop in my stash first before I go out looking for it. Yeah.
So, okay. Cool. So that makes some sense. And then then comes to mind just another button company.
Mm-hmm.
Just an assortment.
Maybe they have little packs or something, you know?
Yeah.
Little just an assortment packs of stuff. Buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or little pins, those cute little pins. You can stick in a little pin cushion.
Yep.
Those and are
there's
cute.
There's another one, needle minders.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't want a, you know, who, we all have needle minders, ridiculous numbers, but, you know, why not? I'd take another one. That'd be a fun gift. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or pin cushion. I don't. I have needle minders. I just don't use them. I tried making myself use them.
Oh.
I do like them for the counted work because you can put your different sizes. Usually you need two or three different sizes for the counted. So I do like it for that. But for cross stitch and stuff, I tried. It adds weight to the thing. It can fling off. If I have it in my fabric, it stays there. Most, you know, it's more likely to stay there than. I tried to get into them, and I just
can't. Yeah,
it's now, one see, of those. But pin cushions, I couldn't have enough pin cushions. I love. I made this pin cushion.
Yeah.
Darn light.
But now, okay. So all right. So then that raises the question. So then it looks like you're using your pin cushion as your needle minder.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
But look how many I have in there. I have a lot.
Right. See, six one half dozen the other. So it's just, where are you putting your needles?
Pins.
Yeah.
My needles. But these stay. A needle minder, they can be flicked off. Oh. That's just unsafe to me.
Yeah.
I have cats. I don't know. Yeah. I had cats.
Yeah.
Still, it can be flicked off. That. It's not secure. That bothers me.
Oh, okay. Now, see, I use needle minders.
And the needle minder can fall off, too.
Yeah. I use needle minders all the time. But the ones I use are always stronger magnets. Like some of those flimsy magnet ones, I'm with you 100%. Those things
Even
usually
the
end
strong
up.
Strong ones, though. And they add the weight. Hmm. I don't like the weight. That bugs me.
Oh, I see. I prefer it. Yeah. But I gotta have a place because, like, even if I'm cross-stitching, I'll always have two or three needles. Even of the same size, because if I'm going to do a stretch of color the same, then I'll thread all the needles.
Oh, see, I don't do that.
Yeah.
Now, for hand quilting, I'll have my tiny little pin cushion, and I'll have six needles in with thread on.
Okay.
Set aside. But I use a pin cushion.
Right.
Because it stays.
Well... So there's, you know,
it's
so there's
a secure thing for me.
Right. No, I understand. So there's gift either way, needle minder or pin cushion.
Needle minder, pin cushion.
Or a chart to make a pin cushion and all the materials.
Yeah, or a little kit. You can buy cute little kits. Somebody that I know has really cute little kits for, making.
Yep. Yep. And, a lot of people, we've talked about so many times, so many charts, you can pull out a motif, make a nice pin cushion out of it. Yep.
You can make a pin cushion out of just anything and just sew it up, stuff it. It's all good.
Yep. So true. Now, another thing is stretcher bars or Q-snaps or hoops. Mm. Now, all of those could be gifts because... You can you buy a set of stretcher bars, 12-inch by 12-inch. We all can use an extra set of those, 7, 10, 14. If the person you're giving the gift to uses those things, some people don't.
Right. And if you know they use them a lot, like they're a big, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Hardwick Manor hoops.
I have a few.
But you use the plastic ones, right?
It depends. I have different ones. It depends on what size. Like I'm doing those 12 Berries of Christmas. So I am using a larger Hardwick. I think it's a Hardwick Manor wood hoop, a larger one, so that I can fit the whole design in.
Okay.
But I like to do, just really like stitching in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it on 40 count, which is why I'm using a hoop. to really help stabilize the fabric and so that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if I'm doing 32 or 28, I just stitch in hand.
Do it in hand.
I don't use a hoop or anything.
Yeah. And see, I use something to hold the fabric for everything.
Oh, so. No.
Yeah. I can't.
I went back and forth. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I. It depends on the project. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta have something to hold it all the time. And Hardwick Manor hoops wrapped. Wrap the inside. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And butt the tool tape up. Don't overlap.
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Got to butt it up.
Yep. Because if you overlap, the only part that contacts the cloth to keep it there is the overlap part.
Yeah. And if the screw's too short, then you won't be able to get it all in anyway.
So. Right. And as I learned as I learned the hard way, tighten down the screws with a screwdriver, but don't over-tighten them because you'll strip the screw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had to use a screwdriver.
Sometimes
what you can do is I have those little rectangular plastic ones, and I've wrapped the inside. But to get it really tight, you leave it kind of snug, and then you put it on and you pop it in so that you kind of force it, you know?
Oh, okay.
So it's already kind of pre-tightened.
Oh, I see.
And just.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I
know, Sophie. I hear you. Sophie's yelling at me.
Oh, okay. And then the last one on our list is Thread Club memberships.
Mm-hmm.
Now that.
I don't know how much those are, though, because I don't. I've never done one.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty cool, but you could get somebody started.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that's a monthly cost. Most of them are monthly costs, mm-hmm. so like 20 or 25 bucks a month. So you might get someone started. But I put that on the list, and after I thought about it, I thought, well, wait a minute. Like, now you're forcing somebody to maybe spend 25 bucks they don't want to spend.
Yeah, unless you want to spend that much on that person. Like maybe it's your daughter, your niece, granddaughter. Go for it.
Could be, yeah. Yeah.
Really good friend.
Really good friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thread clubs are a nice way to add to stash, though.
Right.
But, yeah, that's – I put it on the list. I thought, well, I'm not so sure that's a good idea. That's pricey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But maybe there's, like, a specialty thread pack. Some shops do, like, a Christmas theme or a Halloween theme thread pack with certain colors in. Can you hear her whining?
No, don't hear it at all.
No?
No.
I know. I hear you, baby. She's over there trying to get my attention.
Yeah, so maybe the thread packs as opposed to thread club membership might be a better approach, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So
of those color cards, you know?
Oh, there's an idea.
One of those thread color cards. That could be something.
Yep. DMC color card with actual thread.
Mm-hmm. 40 or whatever. Yeah. Any kind that, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because usually you can get any of those for like 40, 50 bucks, sometimes less. But
okay, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the DMC with the actual thread, that's a good gift. If somebody doesn't have it, they will use it.
Definitely, especially if they like to do their own colors.
Right.
Yeah. And if they don't have one, that'd be a really good thing.
Yep. All right, that's our list. That'll help. Help you spend your money, because that's what we're all about, is helping you spend your money. So there you go.
Sure.
Okay, Sundy Birgit Tolman of the Wishing Thorn is our guest. No show next Wednesday, no show next the following Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Then we'll be back the Wednesday after that with a podcast. Sign up. Register for the FiberTalk weekend, wetalkfiber.com/weekend. Get your registration in and join us in March. Looking forward to having a really great weekend of stitching and general fun, and we might even learn a thing or two. You never know. You just never know. Yep. All right, that's it. Thanks, everybody.
All right, bye.